Good evening, Antioch. It is a joy to be back with you all after almost 3 years. I know this place well and love many of you and this congregation, and perhaps more dangerously, many of you know me well. But the Lord is gracious and has been good to save me and give me the opportunity now to be studying at the Master's Seminary in California. As Dad mentioned, I just finished my first year there. Have the privilege of studying God's Word and getting to teach it there and to you this evening. So will you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1? We're going to look at verse 21 to 23 briefly tonight. As we pray, especially for Holiday Bible Club this week, the message is entitled Reconciled to God. And as we turn there, recall that the letter of Colossians is written by the Apostle Paul, as he was in his first Roman imprisonment, to a small church of Colossians that Paul had never been to. So Paul had visited Ephesus for many years, and during his ministry in Ephesus, Epaphras was saved there, went back and planted a church in Colossae, a small town about 100 miles away. And so Paul had received a report from Epaphras about this new congregation in Colossae. He had received a report that they were being faithful, that they had faith and love for the Lord and for one another, but also that they were being tempted to turn aside to heresy, that they were being faced with false doctrine. So Paul writes to them so that they will learn more about Christ. Throughout the letter, it's focused on Christ so that they will mature in their faith and resist false doctrine. So you'll see throughout Colossians and in our passage tonight a focus on the supremacy of Christ and his sufficiency for salvation. So as we look at verse 21 to 23, we'll read from verse 19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated, hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Bow with me. Our Heavenly Father, you have reconciled us to yourself. Though we were alienated, we were strangers, we were exiles, you have called us to be one with your Son. We pray as we prepare for this week of ministry with Holiday Bible Club, with the many children that you will bring on this campus, that you would make this ministry of reconciliation clear in us and through us, that we would be reminded by your word of how we have been reconciled to Christ, and that you would choose to reconcile some to yourself, even this week, through our testimony, through the work of this church. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So in the brief time we have in Colossians 1, verse 21 to 23, we'll see Paul preaching four aspects of reconciliation so that you will know Christ's reconciling work and be motivated to persevere in your walk with him until the end. So four aspects of reconciliation. First, in verse 21, the need for reconciliation. Then we'll see in verse 22a, the accomplishment of reconciliation. Verse 22b, the purpose of reconciliation. And finally, in verse 23, the implication of reconciliation. So first, in verse 21, the need for reconciliation. Paul says, although you were formerly alienated, hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. So for the last seven verses, Paul has been preaching on Christ. Look back at verse 15, and you'll see one of the most majestic hymns on Christ in all of Scripture. Colossians 1 from verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. In him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. So Paul just said that the whole story of creation, the history of the universe, is about Christ. It's through him, in him, by him, for him. It all revolves around Christ. And then the first words of verse 21, and you. Where did you, the Colossian church, and you by extension, Antioch Bible Church, fit into this grand story of cosmic reconciliation? Well, first of all, you provided the estrangement that made reconciliation necessary. Paul makes three statements here about our pre-reconciled condition. First, our position, that we were alienated. We were estranged, excluded, left out of. If you look in the context here, Paul is using kingdom language. In verse 16, he says that Christ triumphs over thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. Look back at verse 13. He says, Christ rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So the idea here is Christ is the king, and you were alienated. You were outside. You were not one of his citizens. Ephesians 2, Paul uses the same word to say you were separate from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. So that's our position before we were reconciled. Our disposition before we were reconciled, we were hostile in mind. So not only were we outside Christ's kingdom, we were enemies of Christ. This word that's used is for hostility. It conveys the idea of personal hatred or rivalry. It's the same word that Paul uses in Acts 13, speaking to Elymas, the magician. He says, "You are full of deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness. Will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?" So this is not just that we were not fans of Christ or that we were figuring religion out. We were alienated and we were hostile towards him. Notice where this hostility was. This was in our mind, in your thoughts, our attitude. In the Old Testament, this is the heart, right? The center, the control center of our thinking, our emotions, our will. So Paul says here that before Christ reconciled you to himself, not only were you outside of his kingdom, your entire mindset was scheming warfare against God. And then notice the next word, our pre-Christ actions. You were engaged in evil deeds. So we worked out our position and our hostility by breaking his commandments actively. So as Paul sets up here the need for reconciliation, he makes it clear, as Isaiah 59:2 says, that the distance between us and God is caused by our sin. Isaiah says, "Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." So it's only because of our sin that we are separated from God, and thus this sin must be dealt with. So look at verse 21. Scripture is clear. When it comes to the reign of Christ over all creation, there are no neutral parties. You are a friend of God or an enemy. You are an heir or you are an alien. Believer, do you recognize what a great work Christ has done to bring you into his kingdom? How far you were from his kingdom. To make you not only a citizen from being an alien, but now an heir. Look at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Young person, children of Christian parents, do you recognize there are only two positions? There are aliens and there are heirs. There are enemies of God and there are friends of God. There is no middle ground. You're not born a friend of God. So if you haven't been reconciled to God, you are his enemy, and that's a dangerous place to be. We will have perhaps 200, 250 children running around our campus this week. And many of them, all of them are born as enemies of Christ. But there is hope, and we'll see that in verse 22. So we've seen the need for reconciliation. Look at verse 22a, the accomplishment of reconciliation. Yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. This is one of the New Testament's favorite words to describe salvation, along with justification, adoption, redemption, forgiveness. The Bible loves to describe our salvation from all different facets and aspects. This particular term speaks of the exchange from enemies to becoming friends of God. Like justification, this is a forensic declaration. We are first declared friends with God, which results in us acting like God's friends. 2 Corinthians 5, another great reconciliation passage, speaks of Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. So our standing before God, reconciled to him, is based only on Christ's work on the cross, not our own acts of friendship toward God. Notice a few things about these first few words in verse 22. Yet he has now. Yet. It's the same Greek word for but, right throughout the New Testament. But God. In spite of. This reconciliation is not because we decided to be God's friends. This is all God's work. Notice, yet he. This reconciliation is an act of God alone and has now. This reconciliation is completed for every believer. So these four words, yet he has now, changed the whole direction of this passage from aliens, enemies, and evildoers. Yet he has now. He has now reconciled us. Praise the Lord for these four little words here and throughout the New Testament that change not only this passage, but our lives from being aliens to being heirs. Look at verse 22. How was this reconciliation accomplished? In his fleshly body through death. So Paul reminds the Colossians here how reconciliation was accomplished. He does this elsewhere in Colossians and throughout the New Testament to remind us of exactly when and where our salvation was purchased. Colossians 1 verse 20, just one verse before, he says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. In Ephesians 2, he says, abolishing in his flesh the enmity. So remember, the distance between us and God, the need for reconciliation is our sin. This sin had to be punished in order for us to draw near, and this happens only in the blood of Christ. Romans 5 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. The offended king, instead of sending his armies to vanquish his enemies, sends his own son to take their guilt so that they could sit at his table. We who are aliens have been made heirs. We who are enemies have been made friends. We who are evil have been made righteous, all because of the work of Christ, who was the heir, who was the friend, and who was the righteous one, because he took our sins on his shoulders. Hallelujah. Before we close and turn to praying for the many children that need to be reconciled to God, let's look briefly at the purpose of reconciliation and the implication of reconciliation. Verse 22b, the purpose of reconciliation. In order to present you before him, holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. Beloved, we have been reconciled with a very specific end in mind, that Christ would receive the glory on the final judgment day when we are presented before him as holy, blameless, and beyond reproach, the opposite of what we were when he reconciled us. This story, the book of Colossians, and the whole scripture is about Christ. Everything was created through him. It was all created for him, all held together by him, and he gets the glory when we're presented to him one day as holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. Christian, Christ reconciled you so that he might present you. How is your preparation for that presentation going? Let's look finally at the implication of reconciliation in verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. So as Paul concludes this incredible section on the person and the work of Christ, he applies this truth to the Colossian believers and to our lives by urging them to walk in Christ. As we heard in Revelation 21 today, right? He who overcomes will inherit these things. Remember, Paul is writing to a young group of Christians who are tempted to turn away from Christ. They're tempted to pursue other things that were better than Christ, to pursue more sufficient ways of salvation. And Paul writes to them and tells them, Christ has reconciled you. There is no need to turn aside from him. So walk in him. If Christ has reconciled you from what you were, do not turn away from him. Walk in him for the rest of your life. So as we close, let me remind you what we've seen in this passage. We've seen our great need for reconciliation. We were alienated. We were hostile in mind. We were engaged in evil deeds. Consider the great accomplishment of our reconciliation. It was accomplished by God through the work of Christ in spite of our actions. Consider the implication of reconciliation. If Christ has done all this for you, walk in him. Do not turn away. And third, consider the purpose of reconciliation, that you might be presented as holy, blameless, and beyond reproach, all for Christ's glory. Let me read for you the words of this hymn, Chief of Sinners Though I Be, from William Macomb. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me, died that I might live on high, lives that I might never die. As the branch is to the vine, I am his and he is mine. Oh, the height of Jesus' love, higher than the heavens above, deeper than the depths of sea, lasting as eternity. Love that found me, wondrous thought, found me when I sought him not. Strengthen me, O gracious Lord, by your Spirit and your word. When my wayward heart would stray, keep me in the narrow way. Grace in time of need supply, while I live and when I die. Let's pray. O Lord, you have reconciled us to yourself. Though we were aliens, though we were exiles, though we were your enemies, you have called us out of darkness into your glorious light. I pray that that work of reconciliation would have its full reward, that Christ would receive the glory in our lives as we are presented holy and blameless and beyond reproach, and that we would carry this ministry of reconciliation to the world, even this week on this campus and as we go out into the city, that Christ would receive the glory, for it is all due to him. We pray in Christ's name, amen.